Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we are doing a new series on Jesus of the Gospels. The first meditation on this particular topic, we saw that Jesus asking the question at some time during his public ministry. The question was, who do the people say that I am? What was the popular opinion about Jesus? When the disciples answered with many messianic titles, especially as prophet, he asked the second question, who do you say that I am? These two questions somehow are being asked every day, in every age. What or who do the people say that Jesus is? Who is Jesus? And who is Jesus for me? And we saw that many answers are being given. That he is the Christ, the Messiah, the expected Redeemer, the Savior of the world, the only Redeemer, the Redeemer of the world. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the liberator of the oppressed. Jesus, the rebel. Jesus, the revolutionary. Jesus, who subverts all the existing orders. And so on and so forth. Many, many pictures of Jesus emerge and exist in the hearts of people today. Now the question is, how do we know Jesus? What are the sources about Jesus? If one wants to get an authentic picture of Jesus, where does one go to? What are the documents that speak about Jesus? Or are there any contemporary literary documents that report about Jesus? These documents do exist, and they are of two different types. There are the religious documents, especially the Christian documents. The documents written by the disciples of Jesus, who believed in Jesus as the Son of God, who confessed him as God and Savior, and who communicated their faith in Jesus through written documents. So these are the first type of literature. And that's what we are going to focus on today. But there are also other types of literature, not Christian documents, but secular documents. Secular documents by Jewish historians and Roman historians. That we'll come to later. Now, coming to the Christian documents, before we deal with the documents proper, we should remember one thing, that in the first century AD, there were very few people who could read and write. And those who were converted to Christianity were not the elite. Most of the people were illiterate. They could speak, they could understand, but read or write, that was not a common art. So there were very few people who could read and write. And the writing material was expensive. Printing technology was not developed. Everything had to be handwritten. The papyrus or the parchment on which the documents were to be written was also expensive. So taking these factors into account, we know why there aren't too many written documents. But still there are some. And these documents somehow form the basis of the faith in Christ. Another point we have to keep in mind is, before anything else, the disciples were giving testimony to their experience. Jesus did not send out the disciples to write books and articles and publish them everywhere. No, he wanted them to go out into the open world, to the ends of the earth, and proclaim the good news as he did. The good news is God loves you so much that he has sent his only son to this world to be crucified and to be raised again, so that through his death and resurrection, you have life eternal. God has reconciled himself with the world. Your sins are forgiven gratuitously. God forgives your sins through Jesus Christ. And the death and resurrection of Jesus is the source of forgiveness. This is the good news they were proclaiming to the ends of the earth. So the disciples went around to proclaim the good news, and writing came much later. So this proclamation of the good news gave origin to various communities. And these communities are called Christian communities or churches. In about 20 years after the death that occurred in AD 30, the death of Jesus, we see Christian communities almost all over the Roman Empire. There were Christian communities already by the late 40s in Rome. We know Christian communities existed in the 40s in Alexandria, even much earlier in Antioch in Syria, Antioch in Pisidia, or the present Turkey. There were Christian communities in Ephesus, in Athens. So all around the Mediterranean world, there were Christian communities in about 15 to 20 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. There was a Christian community already in around the year 50 in India, the St. Thomas Christians. So these are the communities that bear witness to the life, ministry, and mission of Jesus. So before the written documents came into existence, there was the Christian community. It is the Christian community that wrote down these documents. So the documents come second, the communities come first. All the same, we have documents, written documents, and they are of two different types. The first type of Christian documents are letters. Letters written by apostles to the churches they founded. And most of the letters belong to St. Paul. 13 of the New Testament books are attributed to him. And the very first book of the New Testament to be written is a letter Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica around the year 48 or 49. A church that was undergoing persecution. Paul himself faced persecution and he had to go away from town in order to prevent or in order to avoid further persecution. And when he came to Corinth, he had no peace because he did not know what was happening in the church he had founded and where he had been only a few weeks. When his disciple Timothy comes with the news from Thessalonica, he wants to write to them. So starts the New Testament literature. He writes to them, encouraging them to remain faithful to Christ in spite of the persecutions, and explaining to them what is lying in store for them after death. He speaks about the resurrection. He speaks about the second coming and encourages them to remain faithful to Christ in spite of the persecutions. So such letters he wrote. And these types of literature, we have 21 of them. 13 letters attributed to Paul, one letter called the letter to the Hebrews, and 7 letters called the Catholic epistles. All these letters somehow refer to Jesus, but not so much about his public ministry. For example, Paul, in his letter to Corinthians, the first letter to Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 1 to 3, we read like this. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which you also are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. So he says, he received the good news from the disciples, from those who saw Jesus directly. And Paul accepts this testimony of the disciples and hands it over. So there is a kind of tradition. And he is reminding the disciples about this good news they have received. The same thing happens with John. In the first letter of John, chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us." So John is speaking about the eternal word that has become flesh, that was witnessed by the disciples. So the letters speak about Jesus. Letters bear witness to Jesus. But the letters do not give much information about the earthly life of Jesus. Most of the letters speak about his death and resurrection, and the eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, and the new life that is being given through the death and resurrection. In order to know who this Jesus is, what were the circumstances that led to the death, and what is the impact of the resurrection, we have to go to what we call the Gospels, the other category of writings. And we know there are four of them. They are not actually biographies of Jesus. They are also testimonies to Jesus. Testimony of the church to its master. The disciples who believed in Jesus. The disciples who lived with Jesus, who acknowledged him as the master and Lord and God. Now speak about them. Write about him so that the coming generations can know who Jesus is. Here we read from the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke has an introduction, like many of the contemporary Greek histories. And in this introduction, Luke tells us why he wrote the book, how he wrote the book, what the purpose, what the method, etc. "Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully and from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed." Luke is not inventing a story. Luke is not an eyewitness to what he is reporting. He has heard, he has collected information from eyewitnesses. He has scrupulously scrutinized the documents that he has had opportunity to look into. So he has made a thorough research, and now he is putting together the findings in a particular order with a particular purpose. And the purpose is to instruct the believers, instruct the Christians in their faith. So Luke is giving a history of Jesus, a history that is being interpreted, a history that is interpreted in the light of faith. It doesn't mean history falsified. It is a history interpreted. Not only Luke, all the other Gospels are also history written in the light of faith. The first gospel to be written, it is believed, was that of Mark, written between the year 60 and 65 after Jesus, after Christ. So about 30, 35 years after the death of Christ. And then comes Matthew and Luke after the destruction of Jerusalem between 70 and 80. And finally, the Gospel of John between 80 and 90. So the written Gospels are coming into existence sometimes between 30 and 50 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. Can we trust them? Are they falsified? Are they fabricated? Do these documents have any historical value? Many in the rationalistic period tended to believe that these were all fabrications of the disciples. Starting with Paul and other disciples, they just made up the story of Jesus. And the Gospels have no historical value. But as historical research went on further, finding more and more accurate criteria for deciding what is history and not, now people think there is much history in it. Whatever the Gospels report as historical events have to be taken as history, but a history interpreted in the light of faith. Every history is interpreted by the one who writes. There is no unbiased document of history. So history has been interpreted from various angles. It doesn't mean this is being fabricated. One should ask the question, why did these fishermen from Galilee fabricate such a story and risk their lives? Why did millions and millions of people risk their very lives, their existence, their freedom, their property, just to believe in a lie? We know for the first three centuries of Christianity, the church was undergoing severe persecution. And they believed in this particular person, Jesus. And this faith was giving them courage, strength. There is no reason why they should have fabricated it. But there had been fabricated stories starting from the second century onwards. And this we call the Apocrypha. The church did not accept all that came into existence as Bible or as inspired text. We'll come to it in the next session. Not only of the Apocrypha, but also the secular documents that speak about Jesus. That will be the topic of our next meditation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending us your Son as our Redeemer, as our Savior. We thank you also for giving us the document, the written documents, be they letters or gospels, the documents that speak about your love manifested to us through Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love, for your Christ, for your word. Amen.